peek of PantherLair.com. A full hour of Pitt football, basketball, and recruiting talk. Trip Total Media. See what's next. Now, here's your host, Chris Peek.
Mercifully, it's over. Finally, 2014-15 season. We can close the book on it. Don't have to think about it anymore. Don't have to talk about it anymore, although we're certainly going to do a lot of that because that's what Pitt fans and Pitt media and Pitt coaches and Pitt players are probably going to do for the next couple weeks is talk about this season. But finally, Mason's career, or at least his tenure at Pitt. And all I can say as I sit here is good riddance, and let's just move on. I mean, really, with this season, when you look at this season and you think about this season, I don't know if there's a whole lot you can take out of reflection on what happened over the awful games that they played, because there were a lot more awful games than there were good games. And you can go point by point on this team. You can go, you know, issue by issue. You can break down why this team was what it was, why the roster ended up as it did, and why the team performed the way it did. And we've done that a lot over the last few weeks. We've talked about how this roster came to be. We've talked about how this team came to be what it is and why it performed how it did. But back at it. You're not going to get a whole lot out of reflecting on it. I think you can look at some of the key points, some of the elements that were important, and what can carry over to next season. And you can talk about what next season will be if you're fans and your media. And if you're the players and coaches, you just got to spend your offseason trying to get better. Because if you sit down and try and spend too much time thinking back on that mess of a season, those 34 games where it was more miserable than it was pleasant, you're just going to get depressed. A lot of times when something bad, that's pretty simple. And I don't know if there's a good answer for why they couldn't defend. Jamie Dixon hasn't been able to offer an answer yet. All he's been able to do is bemoan the fact that they couldn't defend. But if you don't have an answer by this point, and maybe he does and he's just not saying, honestly, stop looking and just focus on what you're going to do next year. Because if these guys aren't going to get better at defending next year, then you better shoot for 85 every game next year. And you might have the team to do it. And that's where I think I'm at with this Pitt bad game losing streak. After each game, somebody or different people will tweet me and say, are you ready to fire Dixon now? And every time I respond, no, because it's silly at this point. Maybe if we're next year, we're in the same place next year, then yeah, maybe. There's not a whole lot to look back at this season and find. You got to look forward, I think. And you look forward with, in my opinion, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, even in the aftermath of Tuesday night's awful game and in the aftermath of the five-game losing streak and the aftermath of this season, I'll say that I think there is a whole lot to look forward to. I think there is reason for optimism. I think there is reason to say almost definitively that next year will be better and that you've got, and this is a phrase you're going to hear from me a lot, and I used it a little bit last week, and I'm going to use it again here. Without stretching the limits of reason, there are plenty of opportunities for improvement. A lot of opportunities for reasonable improvement. Jamel Artis and Mike Young will get better next year simply because it's a year, they're a year older, a year more mature, with a year more of experience under their belts. Those guys, I think, grew and developed and matured just this season. And Deron Johnson, you know, it's, again, we end up in these sort of battles of extremes where if you say Deron Johnson would have really helped this team, people will say, well, you're making him out to be an ACC Player of the Year candidate. No, nobody's saying he's going to be the ACC Player of the Year. But what we're saying is he would have helped this team. Some of the scoring droughts they fell into in games like Hawaii and Virginia Tech and Wake Forest, there's a better than even chance that he breaks at least a few of those scoring droughts. And if that happens, Deron Johnson puts you in the NCAA tournament. Not because he's a great player, not because he's an all-ACC level player, but because he's enough of an offensive threat that he gets you over the top in those games. He's a three-point shooting threat, which opens things up underneath. Defenses can't be as tight and compact as they were against Artis and Young. He makes a few of those threes. Things open up for Artis and Young. and the team is better. The team scores better, the team's offense runs better, and the team wins more. And that's it's very reasonable to think all of those things will happen. Artisan Young will improve, Jeter will improve, Johnson will return, Robinson will be a senior point guard, who, with enough offensive weapons around him, with Johnson, Jeter, Artisan Young on the court with him, won't have to think of himself as an offensive weapon, as a scoring threat, and he can settle into being the point guard, which I don't think and if you want to stretch the limits of reason, you can talk about improvement from guys like Josh Newkirk and Chris Jones and incoming contributions from Rozelle Nix and Damon Wilson. There you start stretching the limits of fancy. Or fantasy, depending on how you want to look at it. You start stretching a little bit and say, well, if you could get this guy to contribute and if you can get that guy to contribute, they could be really good. And all of that's true. And maybe some of that will even happen. But without getting too fantastical focus on than this past season. Because this past season doesn't change too much of what I think about Jamie Dixon. It doesn't change too much of what I think about the state of the program. I think he's done enough over the course of his tenure that I'm not calling for the fall of Pitt basketball at this point. He's done enough over the course of his time at Pitt to earn a down season or two. And I know people want to talk about how over the last 4 years, Pitt's 36-36 in the eight. Actually, the last 2 years also. I'll cherry pick that. So if you want to go the last 4 years, yes, you'll get a conference record of 36-36. If you want to go the last 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 years, then guess what? The conference record's a little bit better. If you want to say that he's lost the program is falling apart because of what's happened in the last 4 years, okay. What about the last 3 years? What about the last 5 years? What about the last six? He's done enough here to have a down year or two. They've got two open spots. They should have two open spots to add some guys to this 2015 recruiting class. Maybe another recruit. Maybe another junior college prospect. Maybe a graduate transfer. We'll talk to Matt Steinbrink, PantherLair.com basketball analyst, coming up a little later in the show. He's going to tell us maybe what he thinks could happen with those extra spots on the roster. But I just don't see a whole lot of benefit to dwelling on this season too much. It was a bad season. They played poorly. They were a bad wife who sat in the front row and screamed the whole time with her toddler. She put the toddler down to yell, to the players to box out. But George Washington put Pitt out of its misery, put you out of your misery, and you can move on. So what do you move on to? Talking about next season, talking about recruiting, and talking about our old friend spring football, because the Pitt Panthers under Pat Narduzzi took the field this week for the first time to open spring practice. Spring camp started on Sunday. They had two practices, Sunday and then Tuesday, and then they're practicing again. From what we've seen on the field, both observing the coaches and the players. So we've got a lot to get to here on the Panther Lair Show, Trib Live Radio, with me, Chris Peek, publisher of Panther-Lair.com, the internet's most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news, football, basketball, and recruiting. We cover it all there on Panther-Lair.com. We got a lot of hoops coverage on there. We've got a lot of football coverage on there, recruiting and spring camp coverage. Trib Live Radio, Chris Peek with you here until 3 o'clock, as we are every week, talking all things Pitt sports. And one of the first things you notice when you watch these guys is energy. Energy has been a theme that I've written about after Sunday's practice. I wrote about after Tuesday's practice. There's energy with this staff. And I think you can see it if you watch Pat Narduzzi's introductory press conference. I mean, the guy is just bubbling energy. I mean, he's all kinds, almost nervous energy. And I've seen that every time I've talked with him. He's moving. He's constantly in motion. And he's going. And you start talking to more of these coaches on the staff, and you start seeing them on the field. Narduzzi. They're following Narduzzi's mold. And Narduzzi's all kinds of energy on the practice field. These coaches are all kinds of energy. And they want it. I mean, I think that's just how those guys are. But they want it to carry over to the players. They want the players to pick up on that intensity and on that energy. And I think that's just sort of their nature. That's what they want. It's certainly been a bit of a shell shock for the players. The players have all talked about how it's different with this staff, how the energy is different with this staff. And recruits have certainly seen it as well, and they've talked with the staff. And, you know, Josh Conklin, the defensive coordinator, I thought had an interesting quote on Tuesday. He said, quote, you know, sometimes those guys don't understand the level of what it really takes to get to the football. And that's just a habit, believe it or not. Getting that trained is a big deal. So we're going to get them to run to the football and get the effort where we want to. And that's what I think is behind, end quote, sorry. And that's what I think is behind, you know, this energy that these coaches are trying to bring. They want the players to match that energy on the field. And I can only corner, backside safety, not, you know, that showing that kind of pursuit to the football. And there are drills. We've put video of them online on panther-lair.com, some spring practice video of these pursuit drills of getting to the football and how the coaches are trying to stress that and how the coaches are trying to emphasize it. And I have to think it's what they saw on film from last year. And it's interesting because, you know, Conklin said, talking about, you know, quote, sometimes those guys don't understand the level of what it really takes to get to the football. That's just a habit.
Creatures of habit. And what they've done before, we've got to break and get them to do what we want them to do.
So there you have it again about breaking habits. We have to break them of what they were doing, he says. And I thought that was strong from Pat Narduzzi. It's not, I was about to say it's not a direct indictment on the previous coaching staff, but I'll be damned if I can think of what else it might be. I mean, when he's saying we need to break them of what they were doing, I'm paraphrasing his phrase there. I'm saying in a little bit more concise manner than what he said. But when he says we need to practice in March, is going to transfer over to help them beat Georgia Tech next October or whenever that game is. You know, it's just, it's kind of like the fourth quarter program with spring football. You know, where they talked about how they were emphasizing in the strength and conditioning program, or not the fourth quarter program of spring football, the fourth quarter program of the offseason with the strength and conditioning program, how they were emphasizing finishing games better, and they were doing certain things in the strength and conditioning program to get the team to finish better. I don't playing with a higher energy level. I certainly don't think that's a bad thing. I certainly don't. Now, of course, if this defense is going to improve, it's not just going to be because they play with more energy or play with more intensity. I mean, this defense needs improved coaching, they need improved talent, and they need improved execution. Now, the talent is going to take time. They're going to have to reload the talent. That's not something you can do in the spring. You know, all you can do is coach up the guys you have. You can't do it in the summer. All you can do is coach up the guys you have and hope that the recruits you brought in are good and they can help you. And it's Josh Conklin's defense. Make no mistake about it. I mean, he's the defensive coordinator, and Narduzzi's going to cede a lot of control to Conklin, but Narduzzi is also going to be heavily involved. There's no mistake about that. He's made that very clear, and you, when you watch practice, you can see it. He is heavily involved. But the idea of, I mean, it really comes down to, can Pat Narduzzi do more with this group than Matt House did? And from the fans, the resounding answer is yes, he can, and he will. When we talk about how this defense is simpler on an individual responsibility level, in terms of what you're being asked to do on each play. Not simpler in terms of blitz schemes or designs or disguises or anything like that, because that's a misconception that I saw on the message board this week, or in terms of coverage. They don't disguise the coverage because it's too simple. No, it's not simple there. It's simple in the respect of what each player is being asked to do on each play. It's individual responsibility. And that this week, I said, what does that mean, that simplification? And he kind of hemmed and hawed at first, said, well, I can't really tell you. He doesn't want to give up all the secrets of his defense. But then he shed a little bit of light on what it means to be simplifying the defense.
We're trying to keep it as simple as we can, and it's complex but simple. Maybe that doesn't answer your question, but you know, there's a lot of moving parts to a defense, and we want to make sure they're moving the right way at the right time versus what we're going to see on offense. And
his approach is, as it relates to the simplification of the defense. But so I'm going to bring you this quote then from Ewan Price, defensive end, redshirt senior. And we could talk a long time about Price by himself just because he's a pretty interesting story that if he can stay healthy, it would be huge for this defense. But that's the big question. Can he stay healthy? But we talked to him about this change in the defense and the responsibilities, the simplification, and what that means to him. And he had this quote. It's a little bit longer, but that's what we're doing. So you're a 9 or a 5, and you just go. Before, we were boxing, we were spilling. I mean, I like both systems, but this one is less thinking and more time to go, end quote. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time getting into the 9 technique or the 5 technique or boxing or spilling or any of these other football technical terms because, to be quite honest, I don't even know if I could explain them very well. I have an idea of what he means. But more to the point is this idea that it's less constricting. For what, you know, by his words, it's less constricting. Quote, this one is less thinking and more time to go. There's less responsibility. There's more time to go. Just go, go, go. That's the idea. Aggressive, fast, get after it. That's what these coaches, defensive players about Madhouse's scheme, usually after they were done with their careers. So it was only for a year or two. They talked about just sort of inherent problems in the scheme. And I was always quick last year to point out that it wasn't just on Matt House, that there were talent issues with this team, that this team had some issues on the roster that prevented it from having a lot of success on defense, particularly up front. They just didn't get a lot of pressure, and I'm not sure if that's something that can be fixed schematically, although maybe it is. You know, we'll see what the impact is. We'll see if it really has the impact that the players seem to think it could have, that the fans certainly think it could have, and that Narduzzi probably thinks it will have. I still wonder how good this defense can be given some of the problems I see up front. I'm not sure if the defensive line is good enough to make this defense all that successful. But, again, if Pat Narduzzi is as much of an upgrade over Matt House as... we'll see. We'll see how it works out. And we're gonna talk to Avante Maddox in a minute here. He'll be a sophomore cornerback, but right now he's a freshman cornerback at Pitt. But you know, on the topic of the cornerbacks, on the topic of those guys, it's an essential position to this staff, to this defense. Josh Conklin pointed it out. Pat Narduzzi has made it known in the past. And you look at what he did at Michigan State. I mean, the corners, they're going to have more success doing their jobs. And right now, I think it's Lafayette Pitts and Avante Maddox as your two starting corners. But it's very interesting because Josh Conklin on Tuesday, the defensive coordinator, when he was talking about cornerbacks, he mentioned Maddox. He mentioned Felipe Motley. He mentioned Malik Henderson. Didn't really mention Lafayette Pitts until he was asked about him specifically. And I don't mean to be one to read too much into something like that, but I'm gonna.
I'm sailing. Peter White.
Falling off as much as Pitts has. From his redshirt freshman year in 2012 to the last 2 years and then coming into this year. I mean, Juan Price talks about the defenses being night and day from this year's system to last year's system. Lafayette Pitts' performance from 2012 to the last 2 years has been night and day. And it didn't get better. I'll say that. And I think most Pitt fans who watched agreed. And even, I mean, last year's secondary coach, Troy Douglas, agreed. I mean, he's going to have to earn it. He's not just going to be handed to him. And that's, I think you see that theme around spring camp right now with this staff, that everybody has the impression that they're going to have to fight for their spot. You take Alex Buchscher. Redshirt freshman offensive lineman. He's lining up at right guard for Pitt this year. Moved there from tackle, but he's going to get an opportunity to start, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was your starting right guard. I think that's what will end up happening. But he was certainly high on the list for the former coaching staff.
Los Angeles, but he started his life.
Open this staff is the competition, and Buchscher went pretty quickly to the comparison.
I don't want to say I was in a good spot with the last staff, but, I mean, it's unfair to say I wasn't. So it's kind of taking everybody and making everybody uncomfortable, giving everybody an equal playing field. And I mean, I'm embracing that, even though I might have been in a higher up spot with the other guys. I'm able to take that and, okay, this is going to be a competition throughout the whole year. So it's going to make me better and make me want to compete throughout spring ball and competition every day. and this one is really everybody's going out and nobody, and maybe a few guys, you know, the superstars, know they have a job this upcoming year.
So yeah, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Well, that's very interesting from Alex Buxer about competition and this staff fostering competition where maybe the last staff didn't. And maybe, and this is reading a whole lot into his comment, but maybe a feeling of jobs to guys, to some guys, not all, but some, where maybe they hadn't been earned. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I thought that quote was very, very interesting from Alex Buxer. Another guy who has some interesting stuff to say is Avante Maddox, freshman cornerback. He'll be a sophomore cornerback this year. And it's funny because I sat down with him this week and as we were about to start the interview, I said something, we were talking about class schedules or something. And I remember, I mean, he played so much last fall that you think of him as a veteran player, or at least a sophomore, but as a sophomore returning starter, probably going to be a starter this year. He's in the spring semester of his freshman year of college.
You know, you played a lot last year, but it is still the spring of your freshman year. Do you feel like a freshman still, or?
On the field, no, but in school, yes. So,
how's that I mean, we talk so much about football, and we're going to talk a lot about football, but how's that transition? I mean, you settled into the college life a little bit? Or?
I think it's actually nice. I enjoyed it a lot, but like some days.
The other freshmen, it's kind of unique for a football player, right? Because you have about 100 other guys who have been here for a while. Do you lean on upperclassmen, not for football stuff, but just for, you know, college stuff, you know what I mean?
Like I hang out with some of the upperclassmen. Some of the upperclassmen. I'm actually in some of the same classes as upperclassmen sometimes. So, I mean, it's really not just all the freshmen hanging together. I really hang out with some of the upperclassmen also. So
2 days into spring,
we gonna keep going out there working as a team, getting better, and we gonna make things better as a team. So.
Especially these defensive coaches. There's a lot of energy, it seems, in that group. I'm watching these guys yelling. The offensive coaches seem a little more laid back, but these defensive coaches have a lot of energy.
Oh, they yell at you. You like, oh, I hope you can come do this. But now you like, they are doing it, which you say you can't say it. So it's nice. So I enjoy running around with them, and it keep you up. Like, you see them running, you like, okay, I'm going to run too, because you don't want to sit there and not be running than they are, so.
You're a Detroit guy. I mean, did you know much about Pat Narduzzi before he got here? I mean, being the Michigan State coach and all that.
I knew about him as like in a defensive wise. Like he was the top ranked coach in coaching and defensive coordinator. But like
this guy, were you excited? You know, given his reputation and kind of what he had done at Michigan State.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, if he got a great rep, so I know he can keep it moving on. So I was pretty excited.
What, you know, we've heard.
It's really straightforward, too. There's no thinking at all. So, I mean, it's just you playing ball, who better at the time. So I like it. It's just no thinking at all. It's just go out there and play. So
yeah, tell me about that, because a lot of guys have said that they've used words like it's simplified, or it's, you know, you don't think as much, you just go. What is that? Can you tell me anything more specific than just that? I mean, what does it mean that they've kind of simplified things a little bit?
It's just, and that's what we do. We just press all the time. So it's just saying who better, one-on-one, who better. So I like playing one-on-one. It's just like outside in the streets, you're going to play your friend one-on-one. You want to beat him, so that's how it really is. It's just simple. Just beat him.
So do you, I mean, is there anybody you've ended up, you know, do you tend to match up with Tyler or Dantes, or who do you tend to, these last couple of days at least?
Well, most of the time we go, I'm in one, so really, like the first play or so, I'll be against T-Boy, and then Dantes.
Dantes will be saying on the field?
You know, or come on, young boy, or young. They always call me young because, you know, I'm young. So, you know, it's just a lot of smack talking, pushing, shoving. You know how I go. You catch the ball, I'll push him. You weak, you know, something like that. I catch it. I swat it down. He said, you was doing this, I was doing that. So it's just little nig-nagging. It ain't really nothing. Mm-hmm. But then we run back to our spots and play again.
The linemen obviously are really looking forward to having pads on because they can finally compete and hit each other. But
since the first day, actually, we've been competing. We've been doing one-on-ones. And, like, in our room, we actually mark down how many one-on-ones you win. So we take the one-on-ones serious because we want to get our percentage up. So, we compete every day. Doing that work today. So
what about Sunday?
Sunday, I was 1-for-2. Hmm. So I had came in late because I had twisted my ankle, but I came in a little late. But I was 1-for-2. So
3-for-3. Do you remember who you went against in those three?
Oh shoot!
Starter by the end of the season. I mean, is that what you envisioned for yourself, or did you kind of think maybe that wouldn't happen?
I mean, I didn't think that was going to happen. I had my mind set coming in. I just wanted to work hard, just to see the field. I mean, I just wanted to play and help the team as much as I could. Like, it's just not like a offensive, defensive thing here. We still a big family, and I just wanted to come in and be able to help the team as one. So, and I just was fortunate to start, and I was grateful for it. So,
what do you, you know, as you look back on last season? I mean,
I've learned like corner, you have to have a lot of confidence. So, like, as time went on in the season last year, I was just gaining more confidence. Like, I wasn't thinking twice on doing this or thinking twice on doing that. I just do it. You got to be able to play fast. So I just started playing faster and play my game, and it helped me out a lot more.
There aren't a lot of guys at corner right now. I think there's only probably four or five of you or so. Yeah. But is he wide open? How do the coaches approach? I mean, you and Lafayette come back as starters, but how do the coaches sort of approach it?
They came back. Everyone has a clean slate. You go out there, you work. Whoever he sees work the hardest deserves that position. So all of us in the D-backs, we're working for one position. So we're still a team, but we're still competing. And that makes the game fun. You got to compete.
Probably agree with that. What's sort of the mentality of the defense? I mean, you guys feel like you have a little chip on your shoulder, a little something to prove this year? I mean,
a big chip on our shoulder. Everyone says, you know, how we got all the stars on the offense. But we're going to show them we got some on defense, too, and I'm ready to show them. So I'm looking forward to this season.
You feel like Coach Narduzzi can have a pretty positive and Coach Conklin and all these guys can have a pretty positive impact on how you guys perform?
Yeah, all of them. They're really excited. Like, they're yelling at us on the field, but not like yelling at us.
Shut down all the one-on-ones. He wouldn't name names, but he 3-for-3. On Tuesday, he's a good player, and he seems to have caught the coaching staff's eye. I thought it was interesting that Michigan State was recruiting him as a receiver, that Narduzzi didn't really see him as a corner. I think he's probably smaller than what Narduzzi would like to have in his cornerbacks. But sometimes when you take a new job, when you become the head coach at a place, and you start over, you have some players who don't necessarily fit the mold of what you're looking for. But they worked hard, and they gave him some good effort, and they played pretty well, and they became pretty important as he got more guys that he was looking for on the roster. And same way with Paul Christ. I mean, some of those guys in the early year. I mean, Artie Rowell is the classic example for Paul Christ. I mean, Artie Rowell is not what Paul Christ would have wanted in an offensive lineman and in a center. He's not. I mean, Paul Christ inherited a commitment from a kid named Brandon Cook out of Cincinnati, a center prospect who was about as big as Artie's coaching staff. So that's what can kind of happen, and I think a guy like Avante Maddox can be that for Pat Narduzzi and his staff. Not how they would draw up their ideal corner, but still pretty, still could end up being a pretty good player for him, and I think they can recognize that. I think Josh Conklin and Pat Narduzzi have said it. I mean, they can recognize Maddox is a pretty good little corner, and he'll be a good player for Pitt. All right, coming up next, we are going to switch gears to the hoop side of things. Talk to PantherLair.com basketball analyst Matt Stein. Speak with you as we head toward 3 o'clock here, as we always do, talking a little Pitt sports, and we turn our focus from football to basketball. The season mercifully finally ended on Tuesday night with a loss to George Washington in the first round of the NIT. And to talk a little Panther hoops, we welcome in Matt Steinbrink, PantherLair.com basketball analyst. And Matt, we'll jump right into it. Tuesday night, there's nothing good about that. That was an ugly, ugly game. And there's been a lot of talk about the team maybe lacking energy or interest or intensity. And I thought Jamie Dixon made an interesting point after the game. He said, you know, they won the rebounding, I think it is. You can correct me if I'm wrong there. But if it's not the effort, what happened in that game on Tuesday night?
I think a little bit of effort in certain lapses with certain guys was definitely prevalent. I mean, you know, to come out like that, I thought Tuesday night was very disturbing. I mean, I think George Washington is, and they didn't shoot well from the free throw line and, you know, go on down the line and Pitt just played worse. I mean, they couldn't really put together, I think mentally more than anything for, a substantial part of the game to get back, into it and then get the lead. So, you know, effort, I wouldn't say they completely mailed it in, but I think for the first time this year, it's definitely a valid question.
You're right about how, I mean, George Washington, they didn't play good. I mean, it was statistically Jamie Dixon's worst defensive team. Is there anything you can put your finger on with this defense? Why it was so bad? Not necessarily Tuesday night against George Washington, where they actually kind of defended well, and maybe that was just a product of GW not being very good, but this season overall, why the defense?
Project good athletes to become good defenders. That's not always the case. Even a kid like Josh Newkirk, extremely fast and quick, but on the defensive end, it always seems like he's playing a step behind. You know, a lot of that is just a feel for the game. You know, when you're scouting a kid and you want to evaluate his basketball IQ, sometimes that's difficult to do at the high school level, but, you know, that definitely comes into play, especially in college when, you know, there's a bunch of screens and you might go through 5-6 in a possession and, you know, helps. A lot of it is, you know, especially Tuesday night, you saw all those turnovers that were unforced and were kind of just committed based on poor decisions, you know, bad basketball IQ. So, you know, a lot of times the scoring droughts led to some lapses defensively, but even more than the athleticism, I think this roster is kind of void of that basketball IQ, and I think that plays a pretty big part of it.
Well, then that's kind of a troubling lead into my next question, because I was going to ask if the defense can get better next year. And I mean, is basketball
improvement, but experience helps. I mean, there's no question. Also, if you have three or four good defenders around a poor defender, you can kind of disguise it and hide it a little better. I also think next year they'll have a little bit more length and size to be able to play the zone. I mean, I think you saw them go to it this year, I mean, when they couldn't stop anyone off the dribble, and that was kind of his, you know, his go-to move to go to that 2-3 zone, but they didn't have the length, so they didn't have the personnel to effectively run that and stop teams when they move.
All right, Matt Steinbrink, our PantherLair.com basketball analyst, joining us here on the Panther Lair Show on Trib Live Radio. And Matt, of course, you cover the team for us and analyze the team, but also ton of effort, time and work goes into the recruiting coverage. And Pitt got a commitment this week. Corey Manigault, 2016 forward from Virginia. He's a 3-star on Rivals.com. Some of their services have him as a 4-star. What's the book on Manigault? What's the scouting report? What's Pitt getting in 2 years when he gets on campus?
Yeah, I think he's an ideal fit for the program. I mean, I really do. Go route or transfer route. You know, Manigault's kind of that kid that he's got the size, he's got the hands. You know, I think he does need to watch that conditioning, probably drop about 10 or 15 pounds, and I think his game will even go to another level. But, you know, he can come in. He doesn't have to play right away a ton. They don't have to count on him. He can kind of learn behind Mike Young and Jamel Artis, you know, Roselle Nick, some other pieces up front. So, you know, he won't be forced into the action. I do think he's talented enough, and I think he'll be able to come.
Steinbrink, our PantherLair.com basketball analyst, joining us on the Panther Lair Show on Trib Live Radio. As I look at the roster coming back next year, Matt, I think we all kind of know and assume, and you've sort of reported that Tyrone Haughton, Joseph Uchebo won't be back with the team. So I'm looking at it. I see 9 guys coming back. Artis, Jeter, Johnson & Johnson, Jones, Luther, Newkirk, Robinson, Young. That's 9 coming back. That leaves 4 spots. They've already got 2 commitments for the 2015 class in Damon Wilson and Roselle Nix. What do they do with the other 2 spots? Do you, you know, what do you see happening there?
Immediately. So there's going to be a ton of transfers that can play right away. I think they're going to look to upgrade both the 2 and 5 spots. I think those are the 2 areas that they really need to look at and kind of improve around Young and Artis and Robinson for next year. So, you know, there are a few talented guys still in high school that they're after. And then, you know, also the coaching carousel, those kids that are currently committed, they can kind of be up in the air. So, you know, there's that route. I think the JUCO and foreign way of doing things is probably picked over at this point. But, you know, the spring is a crazy time, you know, and especially with Pitt, I think they'll have at least two scholarship spots. So, you know, they have the room. I think they can go a variety of different ways. But, you know, I look for if they can get a Cheick Diallo or, you know, one of these high school kids that they're on, then, you know, I think graduate transfer might be the way to go.
Matt, Panther Lair Show on Trib Live Radio, and it's interesting stuff from Matt. I thought about basketball IQ tying into the issues this team has and had on defense. I mean, statistically, it's the worst defensive team Jamie Dixon has ever coached at Pitt. I mean, you're talking the number one at the bottom, whatever, you know, number 12 or number 14, whatever it would be, the worst team statistically. And I think it's those numbers that kept Jamie Dixon. I think Dixon still believed they needed to get better defensively. And I don't think he sacrificed offense in the interest of defense this year. I really don't. I mean, you look at how much Jamel Artis played and how much they relied on Jamel Artis. I mean, Jamel Artis was not a good defensive player. He didn't play well defensively this year, but he played a whole heck of a lot of minutes because he could score a lot of points, as he did for the final 15, 18 games of the season. And that's what they needed. And that's what they're going to need again next year. And I don't know. I mean, that's a little concerning when you hear Matt talk about feeling in that regard. That said, you know, kind of like I said at the beginning, I still feel like this team has better days ahead of it. Next year will be better than this year, and probably the year after that will be better than next year, even though they'll have some serious roster turnover in 2 years. But, I mean, next year's team, with Artis and Young coming back, being a year older, with Jeter, I think, making some real improvements, and I think it'll be interesting to see how he can fit into things with James Robinson as a senior, and with De'Ron Johnson back in the mix. I mean, that's your five. That's a start and shoot for 85 every game, and those guys make the natural improvement that they should make. Because we're not talking about unreasonable expectations. I'm not stretching the limits of reason. I keep using that phrase when I talk to people about Pitt basketball and the prospects for the future. And that's stretching the limits of reason to assume that, you know, Mike Young and Jamel Artis are going to get better just simply on the nature of getting, of being 1 year older and 1 year more mature. I think those guys came a long way just this season and grew up a lot just this season. You give them a whole offseason and you have Jamel Artis do what he's done over the course of his career, which is be something of a 3-point shooting threat. And he's not a 45% shooter. I think he's sub 40%, but his career percentage would have ranked 9th in the ACC this season. He just needs to be that. He needs to be a threat out there because that will open up things for Young and Artis underneath. He'll hit a few of those shots. He's got energy. He'll probably break a few of the scoring droughts, which we've talked about a number of times. And you have Robinson. Like I've said, I don't think he was as bad this year as people have made him out to be. I don't think he had a great Jeter. I think if Sheldon Jeter just takes another step forward, natural progression, then you're not even relying on giant leap forward, you know, a giant leap forward for Chris Jones or Josh Newkirk. You're not relying on Damon Wilson to come in and light the world on fire as a freshman. You're not relying on Roselle Nix to come in and you end up pulling in. Just relying on reasonable expectations of improvement. Reasonable. This team gets a lot better. Just because they weren't that far from making the NCAA tournament this year. I mean, like, so we've talked about so many times about Hawaii, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest. That's 22 wins in the regular season. You change nothing else about this team, but you give them those three wins, and you got a 22-win team that's in the NCAA tournament. And we're looking at this season totally different. And we're still talking about firing Jamie Dixon, reflecting on it. You got to look at what you can be next year. You got to look at how you can get better. You got to look at how you can improve. You sit here and think too much about this season, you're just going to get depressed. If you're Pitt, the players, the coaches, or the fans. Just flush the toilet. Close the door on it. You don't need to look at this crap anymore. It's over. Mercifully, it finally ended. So if you want to think anything about this season, just celebrate the fact that you don't got to watch any more of it. Because that's a pretty good place to be. All right, Pitt football will keep getting more and more interesting. Players put on... content on there, photos, videos from practice, video interviews, transcripts, practice reports. This is an energetic group, and it's a fun group to watch so far, this group of coaches. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what these guys do with the players once the players put on full pads. It's only spring football. The season itself is still about 6 months away, but it's better than not having any football at all to talk about. So stay tuned. Lots of recruiting stuff, lots of teams, Trip Live Radio.